It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 316, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. The WCC tournament kicks off this weekend, and Matt and I preview the whole deal. Spoiler alert, Gonzaga and St. Mary's will likely take it all. We also discuss next season's prospects for men's basketball, and why 2018-2019 might be the year the Cougars break into the top two of the WCC. Also on the show, spring football storylines, men's volleyball has an awesome comeback, and Ziggy is about to get very rich. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, and listen to us talk right now. Matt, we take a week off, and, well, nothing really happened in the BYU sports universe. So
nothing exciting, anyway.
Yeah, nothing that exciting, but let's talk about something exciting before we move on to the other stuff that may or may not be exciting, all right?
Let's go ahead and just say it's not exciting.
No, some of it is.
We're going to make it exciting.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about Ziggy. We're going to talk about Taysom.
Taysom.
They're exciting. We're going to talk about
Taysom Hill.
Okay, that's about it that we're going to talk about. That's exciting. That's it. That's all we got. But anyway, we're going to talk about exciting stuff. But before we get to that, Matt, have you seen Black Panther?
I'm ashamed to admit that I have not.
What?
I'm embarrassed.
You should be embarrassed.
I've been going in and out of town a bunch for work. There's just been a lot going on. But I have a plan to see it this weekend. It will be seen this weekend.
Okay, that's good. That's good planning on your part. I did see it. And Dawn,
I even have a backup plan in case my primary plan to see it fails.
Well, you should always have a backup plan. You and I are Eagle Scouts, after all. Be prepared. Be prepared, Matt. Flap your wings, fellow eagle.
Don't.
Flap your wings. No? I shouldn't make fun of scouting? You think there's some people on the podcast that might... All right, I won't make fun of scouting.
Oh, I have zero issue with making fun of scouting. I just generally prefer not to talk about it at all.
All right, well, flap your wings. Flap your wings, eagle boy. All right, here we go. Don, also an Eagle Scout, by the way, says... Where would you rank Black Panther in the Marvel movie universe? Marvel movie universe, Don? It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Don. Cinematic. MCU. Matt, you haven't seen it, so I will rank it.
I have to, whatever the term is.
I will say top five, maybe top three. Oh, yeah, I just said that.
All I know is I tried to buy tickets this last weekend to a showing when I thought I had a window, and the showing I wanted was sold out. All of the showings were sold out, except for the 3D ones, but that doesn't count. I'm not going to go see this in 3D.
No, I don't see anything in 3D. But Jeremy Ashton on Facebook, Matt, had this to ask. On another note, because he'll appear later in the show, he just finished listening to the Marvel Draft episode for Adam's other podcast, which, of course, is Bleep the podcast presented by the Deseret News, and he thoroughly enjoyed it. It was the best bleeping episode so far. Now, I don't know if that's Jeremy saying the rest of them were terrible and this one was good. I'm going to take it as the other ones were really good. This one was just even better.
It was a good episode.
So Alan C. Wright, my frequent co-host on that podcast, and our brother Sam, the other Mangum brother, that... He's never been on this podcast, right? I don't think so.
I do not believe I don't know that we've mentioned him very much even on this podcast.
No, but he is a big BYU football fan. I mean,
he is.
He's made appearances on, like, our Facebook feeds at BYU games.
Right? And I think he's been on the Twitter account.
Yes.
We need a Rise and Shout Instagram.
For what?
Pictures? So we can Insta our...
Grams.
There's a word there that I. Whatever. We don't need. Forget it.
We hardly even use our Facebook. All we do on Facebook is post that an episode dropped and hey, do you have any tweetback questions? That's it.
Facebag.
Yeah. So anyway. Oh, and by the way, Don did do hashtag tweetbag on Twitter. But go check that out. Go to DeseretNews.com/podcast, and the latest Bleep is available. You can also follow that show at Bleep Podcast on Twitter. It was a good episode. Sam was on there. Alan, who has appeared on this podcast, was on it. And this was before we recorded that show, before Black Panther. I have it on good account because I've talked with both Alan and Sam since they saw it. They both loved it, and it would have, that movie would have featured prominently and high if we redid that draft now with Black Panther. So, anyway. All right, Matt, enough of...
I'm just going to say that Bleep is a great name for a podcast, because just a minute ago when you said you can go ahead and listen to that Bleep,
that's right. Funny. Go listen to that Bleep. It's a bleeping good podcast.
That's some good Bleep.
Jeremy Ashton, he bleeping loved it.
He did.
He did it.
He loves that Bleep.
He does love that Bleep. All right, Matt.
He listens to that Bleep on his phone.
Yeah, he does. He does. Maybe on his laptop.
He listens in his car. To that Bleep.
That's Bleeps right.
In his car.
All right. We could have fun with this all day, and we might. Matt, let's go on to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news. You can't even get it out. We're not even 5 minutes in and you're laughing. We've lost you to the giggles.
All right. Cougars in the news.
There it is. You get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, Kyle Collinsworth was featured in an article in the Deseret News, which, of course, we are the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. But we just go find the good news. Right? Doesn't matter where it comes from. We'll occasionally talk about the Salt Lake Tribune. Not today, though. Actually, we are going to in a bit.
And usually it's when we're angry. So yeah, I think there's something to be angry about. So yeah. we'll definitely hit the Tribune tonight.
We'll get to there later. But anyway, in the Deseret News, Kyle Collinsworth was recently at Salt Lake City as the Mavericks played the Jazz. Ryan McDonald for the Deseret News did a nice little piece about Collinsworth in there, and he's averaging, since he got his contract, 3.5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists a game, 17 minutes a game. And Matt, I'll be honest, I did not think that would happen this year. I thought maybe next year, and here he is. The NBA is here, and it's great. It's great. It was a great story, and it's great to follow it.
Oh, you know what, though? He's got to strike while he's got this window if he wants to turn this into something real. But I think, obviously, the Mavericks have been flirting with this for a while, and they were waiting for the time where there were, just the right opportunity was created to bring him in and see what he's made of. And, and this now is that time.
And he signed a deal. He's got a real, actual contract. So yeah. That's pretty awesome. But that's old news, the contract. But his playing well is not, as he continues to do that. Matt, in other players being in the pros... The Canal Street Chronicles.
It's a place. It's a street.
It's the SB Nation site for the New Orleans Saints. They talked about, basically, it was kind of a rehash article of what had happened in that, was it a Monday night game or Thursday night game or Sunday night game?
I think it was a Sunday night game.
Who basically, they quoted the announcers from that game saying, hey, he might be, Taysom Hill might be the quarterback. There was nothing new in here. It was basically the author, Ernest Ricks, saying, hey, guys, the future quarterback, they may not draft one. This was kind of, like a looking at the draft, and they talked a little about if they draft a quarterback. They may not draft one because they may believe that Taysom Hill is the future. Matt, you and I are on record saying we don't believe they believe that just because they usually don't put the quarterback of the future on special teams.
No, you aren't going to send the quarterback of the future out to tackle somebody on kick return. But the quote from the Sunday night game that the announcers were saying, maybe it was Monday night because I think it was Collinsworth.
That's Sunday night, you ninny.
So Sunday night, there you go. But it was Collinsworth. I think it was Collinsworth.
Yeah, it was Collinsworth. So that's Sunday night.
They said that Sean Payton had said to them during the week that their next quarterback was already in the building. And then Sean Payton he tried to back off of that, whether he said it or not, or what he actually said to those guys. I mean, who knows, right? But then he tried to back that out. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do in this draft. They may not go with a quarterback for a variety of reasons, right? Right. It's not that won't necessarily be a signal that they're really in all in on Taysom Hill. But I don't think they are, as you said.
No, you know, we could be totally wrong just because, I mean, the author here talks a lot about how basically everybody loves Taysom, right? And everywhere he goes, it was true at BYU, you know, people really like being around him. They like competing with him. People really kind of cheered for him when he got to do meaningful things on special teams. So that's pretty cool. The poll on that article asked, do you believe that Taysom Hill is the Saints quarterback of the future? 62% voted yes. I'm guessing that's a heavy dose of BYU fans.
Yeah, BYU fans tend to get a handle on things like this.
Yeah, 27% said more time needed to see, and 11% said no.
Yeah, that 27-11% represent the people who participated in the poll who were from the state of Louisiana.
Well, I mean, are you saying you can't be a Saints fan outside of Louisiana?
I'm saying that BYU doesn't even have an alumni chapter in the state.
Yeah, well, there you go. Fair enough. All right, so other NFL news. The Detroit Lions have used the franchise tag, Matt.
They tagged him.
Ezekiel Ansah. So I've seen a lot of people who don't understand the NFL talking about, you know, the contract he's going to get and all this other stuff, and that he's going to be a top five paid defensive end, which, by the way, is just the mechanics of the franchise tag. It is true, right? But that's how the franchise tag works, right? And he will be paid a lot of money. It does not mean, like I've seen people say, well, they think he's their franchise player because they use the franchise tag. So that is
franchise
not
player
means.
Isn't an official thing, guys.
No.
It's not like a thing. That's just something we say about players. Like, that's not a thing.
No, they proclaimed it. They gave him the franchise
tag.
That's
not how this works.
The point is, he's going to make a lot of money, and the Lions obviously believe they did not want him to leave via free agency. Like the rest of the NFL, they think he's an elite pass rusher, an elite defensive player. So
which is what the franchise tag means, and that's all it means.
That's right. So Justin Sweeney asks, that's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. When will Disney make the Ziggy movie? It's coming.
I don't understand why it's not already in the works.
Hey, you gotta give him another year or two into his career. I think
they did not wait that long for the Blind Side guy.
No, that's true. But the Blind Side had been that Michael Lewis book too. Right?
That's true. That's true. There was a book.
You know,
we need a Ziggy book first?
Should I write a Ziggy book?
I bet you somebody's got the rights to a Ziggy book.
I bet you somebody already is on that. But there will be a movie, and there will be a scene where someone's teaching him how to put on shoulder pads.
Oh, it's going to be the best scene. It's going to be the greatest scene of all time. It's going to show up on Twitter over and over and over again.
Oh, yes.
Did you know he didn't even know how to put on pads? Did you know that? I can't wait for the scene where he's in a collegiate track meet and his shoulders are too broad to stay inside the lane and he's knocking people down.
Yeah.
Or how terribly awkward they make him as a basketball player when it really probably wasn't that bad.
Right. Well,
right. They overplayed some of the stuff with Michael Orr too. Right.
Well, Orr does not particularly care the way he was portrayed. Right.
He does not care for it.
No.
He was kind of portrayed in the movie as like he was dumb as a box of rocks.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think he is.
No, I think people that know were in the know feel like you know, they exaggerate, but it's to tell a story, and you know that's why they say based on a true story and not it is a true story,
right?
I guess so. We'll see, Matt. I just wanted to bring one thing in real quick. There was like this Twitter battle today. Jeff Johnston was in it, a few other people about, you know, Mitch Harper basically said, you know, Ziggy's become this big NFL star. Kyle Van Noy is getting very good. And there's going to probably be a couple of other defensive players here. BYU needs to use that in recruiting. And then some other folks came out and said, it won't help. BYU players aren't good in the NFL. There aren't enough of them good. Okay. Here's my problem with the response to Mitch Harper's tweet. they will absolutely and should use Ziggy's success in the NFL to recruit, even though this staff had nothing to do with it. They should and will, right?
Yeah, I don't understand why you would not.
And Van Hoy and Daniel Sorensen and anybody else who is successful at the next level. And my other problem is you can't use the argument of BYU players aren't good in the NFL except those four guys. Right? Like, that's not how this works, right? Yes, there are a lot of other colleges that have a bigger group of successful current NFL alumni, right? A bunch. But in the end, BYU recently has kind of turned around a little bit with a few of these guys. And I think that's going to continue with Fred Warner in this draft. So you can't take that stuff out, you know? You can't say, well, you know, the Patriots, if you take away their Super Bowls, they haven't been that good the other years.
Yeah, I mean, if you take away Tom Brady, they're pretty average to slightly above average.
You know, you can't say, you know, the Houston Astros, if you take away this last World Series, what have they done? Right? Like, you can't cherry pick stuff like that. So anyway, Matt.
You can. It's just lame.
Yeah, you can. It's just lame. So on Saturday night, Matt, I'm sitting there. I'm tired. It's been a long weekend, long week. Lots of stuff going on. And I sit back and kick back and I'm watching some BYU men's volleyball.
Oh, here we go.
On the BYU TV.
Okay. It's just fun. On the BYU
on
TV.
On the BYU TV. All right. I'm listening to Jerem Jordan call a game, for heaven's sakes.
Friend he calls a great volleyball match. That
calls
Jerem
a great
Jordan.
Volleyball. Quite frankly, and I don't say this just because I like Jerem and he's been on this podcast a bunch of times and he's a good dude. He is a really good play-by-play guy.
Yeah, he's fun.
Can I say he's better than some people that are doing BYU play-by-play on a regular basis?
I think you can say that.
Okay, I will. But anyway.
But is he still buttoning the button all the way up?
Oh, you better believe it is. That's his thing. Yeah, that's his brain.
That's his thing. I think the mustache needs to come back and the shaved head.
And the shaved head at the same time and unbutton that top button, Jerem. If you could put those three together, gold.
Jerry, it's gold.
It's gold. It's cold. Ovaltine. All right, so I'm watching it, and they dropped the first two sets. And in the second set, they looked bad. They had a little bit of a comeback, but they did not look very good in the second set. And Sean Olmstead, in the interview before he headed to the locker room after the second set, was not a happy man. He gave one of those angry coach interviews. Like, they're not trying very hard. I don't know. What are we going to do differently? I don't know. I'm going to tell them it's up to them. You know, and I was really tired and they're down two sets and I'm sitting there and I said, I'm going to bed, Matt. I'm going to bed. I'm tired. It's late here in the Central Time Zone. I'm going to bed. Guess what I woke up to find out?
That you should not have gone to bed.
That I should not have gone to bed. They had an awesome three set after losing the first two sets. They absolutely obliterated Stanford in the third set. 25-14, and then pretty much had their way, though not dominatingly so, in the fourth and deciding fifth set. Matt, I really should have stayed up.
Isn't that the worst? You're that guy. You were watching the game, and then
I'm
you
went gone, basically.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, that escalated quickly. So anyway, congratulations. Amazing comeback by the BYU men's volleyball team on Saturday against Stanford's not a great team this year, but still, two sets down against anybody is a hard thing. It's a hard thing to do, even at home. So, very good. All right, Matt, let's talk about men's basketball. We're going to start off with something that I saw linked to on Twitter, and it's from the fan-cited site, and author Tristan Freeman says this, Cougars have hit rock bottom in the WCC. That's the title. I don't know if you read his article, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Matt, I'll just throw this question at you. What's that? Clickbait?
Clickbait.
Has BYU hit rock bottom in the WCC?
No. Rock bottom in the WCC is Pepperdine.
Rock bottom in the WCC is the bottom.
Pepperdine has not won a road game all season. They are 2-16 in the conference. That's rock bottom.
Yes.
That's like 1997 BYU hoop.
Yes, yes, yes. And that is like, you know, and even as bad as we were in football this year, which was not good, and you and I have gone on record, I don't know that that's rock bottom, but that's close to rock bottom, right? What the football team did.
That's not rock. That's not just rock bottom. That's hot rock bottom.
Okay. All right. You're commenting on my commenting on my typos in our agenda. You pig.
No,
you
I thought you were pansy. Trying to start a thing.
No, I'm
I
not.
Thought I thought you were introducing a new term.
I'm not this, you. That, I don't
rock,
introduce.
You have new rock terms. Bottom, and then you have one level below that, which is hot rock bottom, which sounds very uncomfortable.
Hashtag hot rock bottom. All right.
I got the hot rock bottom.
Hot rock bottom. It's below rock bottom. So anyway, Matt, I agree with you. We're not at rock bottom. Football was a lot closer to rock bottom than basketball is. But let's do a, speaking of Tweetbag, let's do a Tweetbag question from Chase Blyle.
Tweetbag.
That's at Chase Blyle on Twitter. He says, "While I feel disappointed, the basketball team might have exceeded my original expectations, ? How does this season feel to you all?" Or y'all is what he had in there, and you're in Louisiana, so you can say that. I'm in Minnesota, so I have to say you all.
Yeah, it's weird. Either way, it's weird y'all. When you do it. It's weird.
Yeah, you be quiet. Just because you've lived in Texas and Louisiana, it doesn't make you a Southerner.
No, it does not. It's like the time when I first moved here to Louisiana, and I was introduced to somebody, and they said, "Oh, well, Matt's from up north." And the guy looks at me and says, "Oh, you from Shreveport?" I said, "Oh, a little bit further north than that, a little place called Massachusetts." And then he called me a Yankee, and things got really uncomfortable.
It always does when they call you a Yankee.
That got weird.
Matt, Chase says, you know, how does this season feel? Matt, I think that they landed exactly where you and I predicted at the beginning of the year. Like, the win total and everything is almost exactly what you and I said.
But you know what? You know what, Chase Blyle? It feels terrible. But have they? I want to know what his original expectations were.
I don't
if
think
third place in the WCC and 11 and you know 20 actually 22 wins isn't awful, right? We all kind of expected that. But if this exceeded his original expectations, I would like to know what his original expectations were.
Obviously worse, right? Like, but 7 losses in the WCC. Now 4 of them are to the best 2 teams, right? And then they dropped, which you and I predicted at the beginning, they'll drop 3 games in conference that to lesser teams. You and I predicted that. I think where some people, the problem is the order that things happened, right? You had that December-January run where you kind of felt like maybe something's happening. And then they stumbled there in the middle of the conference season and have struggled offensively ever since. And I think that's where what people are reacting to. In the end, this is about what you and I, and I think a lot of other people thought where they would land. Especially if you had told me how good, I didn't think St. Mary's would be quite as good as they've been. So you might say that I thought we'd split with St. Mary's, but if you had told me how good St. Mary's was going to be, I might have actually said, no, we'll probably lose all 4 of those games. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Any other thoughts on that?
I feel like I had some hope early on that they would be better than this, that they would at least challenge Gonzaga and St. Mary's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I feel like it feels disappointing to me.
Okay. All right. I'm not as disappointed now in retrospect as maybe I was a couple weeks ago. So, Matt, let's talk about the WCC tournament, okay? Men's basketball tournament, the Gorilla Glue West Coast Conference basketball tournament. CougFan82, that's at CougFan82 on Twitter. And by the way, if you want to climb on in the tweet bag, as CougFan82 did, you can do it on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. You can do it on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or we're going to have this a little bit later. You can do it via email at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, KoogFan82 says, what's the chance that we see anything but St. Mary's versus Gonzaga in the WCC championship game on Tuesday night? Matt, what are the chances? And we'll get to the official ones, but in your head, what are the chances?
The chances are zero.
Zero? That's dumb. Zero? Zero? Like, there's no chance?
Okay, statistically, I understand that that's actually impossible, right?
St. Mary's lost a game to San Francisco this year, right? They
fortunately,
can lose.
San Francisco isn't on their side of the bracket.
I don't think that's...
Their green and yellow kryptonite does not apply here. No, but let's look at their road. Let's look at their road, St. Mary's road, for a minute, right?
Okay.
So they're going to get the winner of a Santa Clara Pepperdine play-in game. Pepperdine is hot coming out of their one game winning streak.
They're rolling. You know,
they could
they're
be peaking right at just now. The right time.
It's right there.
So okay. It's right there. So I think they get a tired Santa Clara team that they beat.
Okay.
I don't know who they play after that.
They're going to play us. Stop it.
Oh, well, I thought we were going to wait and preview that game separately, but...
We are, but your point is, to you, maybe it's not zero, but it's pretty darn close.
Well, right? Yeah, I mean, and then, you're right. I mean, it's the difference, when you look at the difference between... I would still put BYU in the top three teams, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but
they
it
are.
Is a big, it is a big drop-off.
Huge drop between St. Mary's and us.
Right, so yeah, St. Mary's and Gonzaga are kind of up there. We're sort of, we're a little bit behind them, and then there's this cliff.
Right, well, and I think San Francisco is kind of close to us, and then there's, that's when the cliff really happens, right, is Pacific and beyond, right?
Right, but if San Francisco were in St. Mary's side of the bracket, I might feel a little bit different.
Sure. And San Francisco's not going to beat Gonzaga.
They're not going to beat Gonzaga.
I mean, and they're a decent team. It's not that they're terrible or by any stretch, but they're not going to beat Gonzaga. Okay, so let's see here. Ken Pomeroy tweeted out odds for the WCC tournament. Okay.
All right, so what do we get?
To get to the finals. There is an 88.5% chance Gonzaga makes the finals. That seems low to me, but it probably is just, you know, they can lose, right? They have lost.
Statistically speaking, when you look across an entire conference of teams, 88 is pretty high.
Pretty high. Okay, St. Mary's has a 70% chance of making the final game. BYU has a 22% chance of making the final game. And then, to your point earlier, there's a massive cliff. Okay, it's a pretty big cliff, by the way, from 70 to 22. All right, that's your first cliff.
That's
the massive cliff. The next cliff, which is also fairly large, but you can see the bottom, is from us to San Francisco, San Diego, I'm sorry, that they have is an 8% chance to make the championship, which, by the way, is interesting. And, of course, it's all on what side of the bracket you are. They give San Diego a better shot than San Francisco, and that just has to do with what side of the bracket they're on, right? Like, San Francisco is clearly the better team by Pomeroy's rankings, but, you know, they have that there. So this is interesting to me only in that, you know, every year in every conference tournament, there is an upset or two, right? Now, are they big upsets? Some years. Are they small upsets like, you know, we lose to San Diego in that first round? That's an upset, but it's not, it's not going to make national headlines, right?
No, we're not lighting cars on fire at that point.
But if San Francisco beat Gonzaga in the semis, that's a big deal, right? That would be national news and would hurt Gonzaga's potential seeding in the NCAA tournament. All right, Matt, so let's talk about picking this bracket. Right.
Oh boy.
Are you ready we do this every year. We've never been wrong. We've never been wrong. Is that true? No,
Let's just go ahead and say it's true.
We're pretty sure we've been wrong every year. But at least by one game or something. Where's the bracket? I thought I had the bracket here.
I Googled it.
And you found it just right away?
I brought it up on the Google.
And it just showed it to you.
Well, you go to the WCC website. There's a link there too. This is fascinating for the listeners.
This is amazing.
This is where you get to peek behind the curtain a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, this is what we call an insider's look, gentlemen. Insider's look. Let's see here.
Really?
I can't find still it.
Oh my gosh!
This is my first time using the internet.
Welcome to the interwebs. Did you just download web?
There we
crawler?
Go. I have Internet Explorer.
Oh boy!
No, what was
You're
the,
not
what
using
was the
Internet
Netscape?
Explorer
Netscape.
On your Mac? Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm using
Netscape. Netscape
using
Navigator.
Netscape Navigator. That's what I was
Navigator
trying to pull
was
out
the
of
best.
The memory machine. Okay. All right. So on Friday, there's the two play-in games. There's first Loyola Marymount and Portland. Matt, that's game one. Who you got?
In what basically comes is like the toilet bowl of the WCC conference, actually. Yeah, it is. I'm going to go and take Loyola Marymount.
I am also going to take Loyola Marymount. In the 7-10 game later that evening is Santa Clara and the aforementioned Pepperdine. I'm assuming you're not going to take Pepperdine. They're bad, Matt. They're
I'm actually taking Pepperdine. I'm serious. They're hot. They're coming in hot.
Okay,
they're on a one-game win streak.
That's dumb, and it's Santa
doubled,
Clara.
In their last game, they doubled their amount of wins.
Yeah,
for the
all
season.
Right, that's fine. Santa Clara. Okay, so on Saturday, we're going to start from the top of the bracket. Gonzaga versus we both picked Loyola Marymount to be in here. We're both picking Gonzaga.
Yes.
All right, San Francisco and Pacific. I'm taking the Dons.
Yes.
All right, St. Mary's, I've got them against Santa Clara. You've got them against Pepperdine. Doesn't matter.
No, come on. I don't really have them against Pepperdine, but I have St. Mary's.
All right, St. Mary's. And then the big game, Matt, BYU versus San Diego. Who you got?
I'm taking the Cougs.
Of course you're taking the Cougs. They're going to win. They're gonna beat them. I know they're not playing the greatest right
I'm
now.
I'm really uneasy about this game because the team does not look good right now.
No, they don't look great. But you know, and we lost to San Diego on the road, and it wasn't that long ago. You know, and the first game we beat them at home, and you know, I think it's going to be a close game though. I'm going to say within 5 points. And we're biting our nails the whole time. Anything else you want to say about that game before we move on the bracket?
No, I think it's a close game. It's a close game, but BYU can do it. But it's going to be tight.
It's going to be tight. All right, so we both have Gonzaga and San Francisco in the semifinals on Monday. Matt, we're both picking Gonzaga, right?
Yeah, I'm taking the Zags. Right. Come on.
So then we both have St. Mary's versus BYU in the other semifinal. You're picking the Gales because you're a St. Mary's homer.
I'm picking the Gales because they're a better basketball team.
That's also true, and I'm also picking the Gales. So, Matt, the big thing is, a week from tonight, the Tuesday final game, who you got?
I'm taking St. Mary's.
Are you really? Now, do you have reasoning, or is that just a gut? Is that a gut thing? It's a gut.
I think Gonzaga is very beatable.
Well,
some seasons where you're going into this thing
this year.
And you feel like, oh, they can't be beat, right?
Sure. Last year,
but if you go back, you know, if you kind of take a look at where they're at right now, coming into the tournament, you know, they you're looking at a 5-point win over San Diego.
Yeah, but
granted, that's on the road.
They kind of dominated everybody else towards the end, but sure. I mean, the last time they played St. Mary's.
But look who else they were playing at the end. They were playing Pepperdine and us.
Fine.
Right? Which,
the last time they played St. Mary's, it was not a particularly close game, at least at the end.
Oh, no. That is true.
11. You wanted to give Pepperdine the one win streak. Gonzaga's won 11 straight.
Yeah, but let's back up for a minute. Who was their last loss?
St. Mary's, but that was back
Mary's.
In January.
I'm telling you, I think St. Mary's comes back and wins this game.
That's cool, and they certainly could. They're a good enough team. to beat Gonzaga on any given day. I think Gonzaga's most likely to win, and I'm going to pick Gonzaga, but I'm not going to be shocked by the result of that, right? Well, I mean, nobody should be shocked. I mean, St. Mary's is a good team.
I think all kidding aside, they're both going to get a run for their money, I believe, in their semifinal game.
So you think the game that we have against St. Mary's, assuming we get there, is we're going to play well against the Gales?
Yeah, I think we will play well against the Gales. I think we end up losing the game, but I think we play okay.
Yeah,
I think San Francisco keeps it inside of 10 points against Gonzaga.
Yeah, I think San Francisco can now. That game could play out a dozen different ways, right? It could be a blowout if Gonzaga is firing on all cylinders and the Dons have an off night, right? But I'm with you. I think they hang around. St. Mary's to me is they are the team that is winning on these guys have played together for 4 years, right? They've got a ton of experience. They've got the best player in the conference in Landale, right? Landale. Why do I always mess that up?
It's Landale. Everybody messes this up.
I want to call him Jack
Because you
Lawndale.
Want to call him Jack Lawndale instead of Jock
it's
Landale.
It's dumb.
It's crazy.
Not his name is dumb. My inability to keep it straight. I want to make that clear.
You're not the only one with that problem.
My inability.
Dumb.
Yeah.
It is dumb, and you are dumb.
Yeah, thank you. I'd appreciate that. But, I mean, and Landale, I've heard a few people on Twitter make arguments for anybody else in the conference being the best player this year.
Stop it.
He is by far the best player in the conference this year. The difference between them and St. Mary's and Gonzaga is if you look at the top 10 players in the conference, Gonzaga has three of the top seven.
Yeah, it's like, right? it's like, Jock Landale and then a bunch of guys from Gonzaga.
Yeah, well, and Yoli. Right, so, Yoli's up there.
Right, and a BYU guy. So,
and a BYU guy.
But you know what? This is the year, to kind of the point you were making a minute ago, this is the year that St. Mary's has been looking towards.
Well, they need, and we're going to talk about this in a second, so I won't steal our thunder, but this is the year. If they're going to win the conference and beat Gonzaga, this is the year. They need to do it in this tournament, because I'll tell you what, they're not going to do it next year.
No.
They're not going to do it next year.
This is when the stars have aligned and they have to take their shot.
Yeah.
And this is when it's got to happen.
It's got to go down, Gales. And guess what? Neither of us are rooting for the Gales, right? If that's the championship game, are you rooting for Gonzaga or St. Mary's?
Why would I not root for St. Mary's? Just because they will have just beat us?
Because we're BYU fans and we don't like them. It's like
okay, that's
a
good enough.
Budding
that's
rivalry.
Good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Yeah, I'm cheering for the Zags.
Just memories of what's his face's face.
Oh my gosh, what's his face with his stupid little mouth
with his mouthpiece
and his hip checks and his dirty play.
Yeah, yeah, get fired
and his
up about
stupid
it.
Stupid game-winning shots.
Yeah. Yeah,
hit game-winning shots. What a loser!
I hate the Cavs.
Hell of a dork.
All right, dell of a dork. Anyway, all right. So a Kook Fan 82 had another question for us. Also, love it or leave it, Matt. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Gorilla Glue sponsoring the WCC tournament kind of feels a little ragtag to me. #tweetbag #climbonin, Matt. Love it or leave it, Gorilla Glue sponsoring the WCC tournament.
I think it's great. I really hope that they stick as a sponsor.
That's terrible, and yet I laughed.
Oh, that was great.
Good timing there, buddy. Good timing.
No, I think it's a great way to just hold the whole tournament together.
I feel like it's really bonded.
It's bonded all of the teams as one.
I was about to take a drink of Dr. Pepper. You almost caused like a catastrophe.
Hey, though, in all seriousness, though, this is the joke I wanted to make had to do with, remember what year was it where there was the giant decal in the middle of the court, the giant West Coast Conference decal that everybody kept slipping on?
Yes, yes. You remember I don't remember what year it was, but yes, I remember
that. And it
was
huge. It stretched like all the way out to the three-point line, and people were just, it was like a slip and slide, and everybody was falling on it. Do you remember this?
Yes, I
do. So the joke I wanted to make, but I couldn't quite put it together, was how they might have the opposite problem with the logo.
Where
this
their
year.
Feet get stuck in the
People
middle
get
of the
stuck
court.
To it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it could be an advantage.
I couldn't quite put the joke together though. But you see, there's something there.
So it's ragtag Coug Fan 82. That's true. Yeah. But so's the
like
conference.
3 days ago. When did they close this deal?
Yeah, I know. That's the one thing. They also play, is it still in the Orleans Arena? It is, right?
No, I think we got bumped. Didn't we get bumped from the Orleans? I think we got bumped.
The problem is I you and I have talked about doing a guys weekend in Las Vegas the weekend of the tournament, and I still someday we need to do that because it's fun.
It's still in Orleans. It's still in Orleans.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was still in the Orleans. It's 10 years, by the way, they've been doing this conference.
10 years in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, so it must be working out for them.
It's a big deal.
Season thoughts, Justin Whiting on Facebook asked this. Should I be more frustrated with BYU basketball or my Indiana Hoosiers? It hurts to say it, but Purdue is killing it. It's always you should be more frustrated with the Hoosiers, Justin.
Why are you a Hoosiers fan, Justin? I still don't understand.
I think he's Stop isn't it. He from there?
Yeah, I think he went to school there or something.
I can't remember. We've been down this road with him before.
I refuse to retain that information, Justin.
Anyway, Matt, next season we have some questions on this from two different listeners and very similar. So Andre Hutchins on Facebook says, since BYU basketball, we were turning essentially the same team next season, what does BYU need the most in order to break into the top two of the WCC? Staff changes / additions, team additions, Nick Emery returning, Eric Mika gets a waiver to rejoin the team. That would be good. St. Mary's loses all their seniors, and by default, BYU is better. # climb on in the face bag.
Yes.
That's one heck of a hashtag, Andre.
That's the weirdest hashtag ever.
So then Chase Blyle, in his second appearance in the tweet bag, says, can we rightly expect Elijah and Yoli to be the go-to guys next year, or will Coach Rose try to resurrect TJ's precedence? # climb on into the tweet bag with a scary clown face. Or does Love Chase it. Come later? I don't remember seeing the clown face. Did we already do one of his? We did already do. He has the scary clown face, which if you've missed that before, basically Matt scared the crap out of everybody and got really creepy with some whispering.
And awkward.
Voice.
Somebody actually called the police, but yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah, well.
My attorney has advised me
Not to discuss it. So we'll get to Chase's question. These are both about next year. So Matt, I've got St. Mary's is going to take a big dip. Their
yes.
best four players are all seniors. And it's not even close, right? As far as the players. If you look at Gonzaga, for example, like every year, they lose a couple guys, but they've got a lot of guys.
They'll kind
of
reload, right? They've
they
got depth.
Reload. Actually,
St. Mary's
I think they could
doesn't
be better.
Have that.
I think Gonzaga could be better next year than they are. No joke. Just based on the talent they have on that roster and progression of those players. Okay.
No, I'd buy that.
So let's get back to Andre's question, which is, can BYU get into the top two, and what would it take? Besides, obviously, we're both assuming St. Mary's is going to take a significant step backwards. Matt, what needs to change between now and next season?
I see a combination. I'm going to take one point from each, from Andre and Chase. The first point being the return of Nick Emery. I think Nick Emery, after a year off of school and basketball, coming back in to play and and getting some focus back, I think would be extremely helpful. And the other one is continuing to develop Elijah and Yoli as the go-to guys. I see those three players going into what is hopefully the rightful next step of their evolution or development is what gets us up, is what allows us to leapfrog St. Mary's in a down year.
I think you're right. I think here's the thing. This goes back to what we talked about before. I think this team did about what we thought they would do. It was a slight step back from last year, and you lost your best player, right?
Right.
But you lost
your best player and another key contributor.
And another key contributor, right? And Yoli and Elijah Bryant took the step forward we were all hoping they would, right? You don't know till they do it. But we all, heck, in Yoli's case, I think he went farther than I thought he was going to. I thought he'd be better, but I think he went. Elijah went to where I thought we all thought he could if he got healthy. If he stayed healthy, I should say, is probably a better way to put it. To me, I think it's just a maturation deal because you're talking about Yoli, you know, is still a sophomore going into junior. That's true for TJ. I don't think TJ ever becomes the top two guy on this team next year. I think he is the third or fourth best guy, and I think that's okay. I don't think they try to transform the team, hand the keys back over to TJ, which I don't know if he ever had them because I think it was Emery's and Mika's team last year.
Yeah, if TJ ever was holding the keys, he had a very loose grip.
Yeah. And I think that's okay. I think cause in the second half of the year, other things went south, but I think he got a little bit more consistent. And Emery coming back, and I think, you know, some of the other players maturing, and there'll be, there'll be some additions and changes. So, and quite frankly, if you could get Emery and, you know, Emery to come on and be where he was his first year or better than that, that could be a big, that could make this team not lose those silly in-conference games they shouldn't.
Right, which is exactly what you need to jump up into that number two spot.
Yeah.
That's the hurdle you need to clear.
Correct.
Is don't drop the games to the teams that shouldn't be in the gym with you.
All right.
Right. So, if you can do that and then you beat St. Mary's once or twice, there you go.
So Matt, Jeremy Ashton asked us a question via email that we're gonna punt on till next week, which is the NCAA investigation and Utah being included on the list. Jeremy, we will get back to that. That's a big topic that I want to spend some more time on. We're already 45 minutes into this show, and we haven't talked football yet. So we'll come back to that one next week, Jeremy. I'll leave it on the agenda and probably misspelled.
We'll go ahead and give that a rugby-style punt.
That's right, a rugby-style punt. Which, by the way, the Twitter game between the new punter and Johnny Rugby, it's off the charts.
Well, Johnny Rugby apparently is not just tutoring him in the ways of punting.
No, it's in the ways of Twitter. And he tweeted out a screenshot from their text exchange about his first interview on BYU Sports Nation. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
And he said, hey, I want Danny, the new punter, is like, hey, I need feedback. How did I do? And he said, you did terribly, like your rugby team, like your country's rugby team. So... it was.
I like it.
He's bringing it. All right, Matt. Spring football's coming up soon, and I wanted to talk about some storylines. So Randy Whittle on Facebook asks, "Sell me on why I should get excited about spring football this year." Randy, that's what we're going to do for the next 15 minutes. We are going to get you pumped for spring football. All right, Matt.
We are.
Challenge accepted. Do you accept the challenge?
Yes. Do I sound enthused?
You are such a pansy.
I'm not as excited about spring football as you are, but yes, let's do this.
Okay.
Let's play some football without any of our quarterbacks.
Stop it.
Sorry, right. That's not enthusiastic.
Yeah, that's not. All right. So, Matt, return missionaries that will play this spring, okay? Tell me, super excited or not, okay? That's not the right thing. But anyway, three-star linebacker from Hurricane, Utah, Jeremiah Iremia.
I am excited about this one.
Yeah, he could be on the – I think he'll be on the two deep when all is said and done.
He's going to play, and he's going to hit some kids.
Fellow linebacker who played safety and running back in high school, Herkley Latu, who I believe was in Provo High School, right? I think.
I don't know the answer to that.
But anyway,
it was sometime in the late 90s.
Yeah, you know.
Anyway, this all works. They go
super excited or not. I don't think he plays this year necessarily, so
no.
I'm not as excited. Devin Kafusi, defensive lineman, a younger brother of Corbin and Bronson, three-star recruit coming out of Tempe. Based on the way his brothers played, yes, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm not. If I had to rank him, I'm not as excited about Aramia, but excited for him.
Well, and Kafusi's with our depth on the defensive line, I think Kafusi's probably got a year before he's maybe as much of a contributor. Right. David Louis, defensive lineman out of the Bay Area, I think. Same camp as Kafusi, maybe a little less. And the one I might be the most excited about for spring is Skylar Southam, the kicker.
I'm not going to get excited about a kicker in spring ball. I can't do it. That would just be disingenuous. I'm sorry. I want to be excited about spring ball, but I cannot feign excitement about a kicker.
So, Matt, of course, we did not include return missionaries that won't be here till fall, like quarterback Jaren Hall,
yes,
running back Sione Finau, tight end Hank Tuipulotu. There have been like that's six of them.
You should know that name. Tuipulotus have come through this program. Bad. Come on, man. You're better than that. And it's Finau, I think. But anyway, whatever.
It's Finau. You're right. It's Finau. Anyway, we're not going to get into those guys. We'll talk about them.
Mostly because Adam can't pronounce half their names.
Oh, shut up.
You can pronounce half of them, either the first or second half.
Don Woloku. I did better on that, learning that name, than almost every announcer we had all year, by the way.
I would say 100% of the announcers we had all year.
Yeah.
Some of whom got confused and didn't realize who he was.
No. Yeah, he's a newcomer.
Have a guy named Lake back there.
Yeah, he's a newcomer. That was the best.
Same dude, guys.
Don Woloku, the newcomer. And you're like,
not hard.
Not a newcomer. Not hard. Look at the press guy.
Research.
All right, so another reason to get excited is transfers, Matt. Transfers.
Oh, you gotta love transfers.
Some of who
love transfers
already transferred and redshirted, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about who you're most excited about. There's Tristan Hodge, the offensive lineman who was 4-star out of high school, transferring from Notre Dame. Excited? Oh,
yes, extremely excited about this one.
Me too. I think there's a good chance he's a starter. Okay.
Yep.
Christian. You want to go with the last name?
I think it's Folau.
Folau. So he signed with, he's a linebacker, 4-star linebacker who signed with Oregon State before his mission. Also, at some point had commitments to Stanford and Wisconsin. He redshirted last year. I think he will be a big contributor. You excited?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a guy who had schools chasing him like Wisconsin, Stanford, Oregon, Washington, Oklahoma State. I mean, this guy is legit.
Yeah, he's legit.
You know, when you look at kind of, you know, we've talked about the bread and butter of finding the 3-star guys that you can then, you know, mold into playing above their expectations. This is a guy who's already coming in with slightly above expectations, who I think has tremendous upside. I'm excited about this guy.
Yep, me too. 3-star defensive tackle Wayne Tay Kirby, who transferred from Oregon. He played for 9 games for Oregon as a freshman in 2016. I think he'll be a starter, Matt, or at least in the mix, because, you know, they rotate.
Yeah, I think
another
he's in
one
the
to
mix.
Be excited about. So get excited, Randy. These are exciting players. Offensive lineman James Empey, who is transferring from Utah, redshirted this past year, committed to Utah before his mission. Matt, I'm not as excited as, say, I was about Tristan Hodge, but I'm still pretty excited. There's talk that he might replace Tejon Karoma as the center. So there's a possibility there. Any thoughts?
Yeah,
on
I mean,
him?
It sounds like, you know, he's a contributor, but I think that he's a. These are the kind of players that you expect to land, right?
Yes.
So, you know, this is a BYU guy who I think will contribute.
Yeah. Baylor Romney, the quarterback who transferred from Nevada, he's the brother of Gunner, And he will be one of the quarterbacks who suits up for spring ball, Matt. So that's exciting.
I don't know. At this point for this program, if you're a quarterback suiting up for spring ball, that means you're probably not in the mix.
Yeah.
Because all the guys that are going to be competing to start,
that's mean.
None of them are going to put a helmet on until August.
All right. So the I'm gonna mention one more, Matt, which is Zachary Katoa, running back who transferred from Oregon State. He was a signee. He never ended up playing with them, but redshirted last year on the scout team in 2017. Matt, I don't know how much he'll play because there's a lot of running backs, but you never know, right? With injuries and or maybe he just outperforms the other guys, right?
Yeah, but this is where and I think the same thing is true for a guy like Baylor Romney. I think spring ball is the time where you try and make your mark.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Where you have a window here. When we get into the fall camp, it's going to be a lot harder to crack that, that starting rotation or to make a name for yourself. So if you're going to do it, now's the time.
So Matt, the big storyline is going to be the QB, right? So Justin Sweeney, who's already been in the face bag, tweet bag, whatever. But you can say his name again if you want.
Sweeney.
He says, how beneficial will spring ball be if Mangum and Hodge are out with injuries? Hashtag tweet bag. And then Jared Roundsville at J Roundsville on Twitter says, odds our 2018 QB is actually on the roster already. so they took different approaches with their QB questions. Sweeney seemed to be pro Hodge and Mangum, and maybe Jared was not as pro, though I may be misinterpreting his tweet bag question. Matt, let's go back and talk about Sweeney's question. I think it's still very beneficial because I think there's a good chance that the starting quarterback in fall, and I mean 25 to 30% chance, and I mean that high, that it's not Mangum or Hodge that starts the first game of 2018.
Oh, I think it's extremely beneficial. And I don't know if I've bought in that we even see Mangum in 2018. You know, I don't know that we have that as a guarantee. And if the past few years have taught us anything, is that depth at quarterback is going to be key.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
Giving these guys reps, seeing what they're made of and what they can do is going to be extremely important for our success in the fall. So I'd say it's highly beneficial to get these guys reps and see what we've got because we don't know, right? We got so deep into the depth chart last year, they didn't even know who to put in.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a big piece here is so you got Critchlow, you got Mangum, you got Willstead, and then, of course, you got Hall, Connor, Wilson. I mean, you've got all these guys – some of whom will be in spring camp, many of whom will not, right? And you look at that and you say, nothing's going to be decided in spring camp, right? I don't believe. I don't think you'll have them naming a starter at the end of spring practices.
No.
Okay? I think what you will see is that you will see some of these guys potentially separating themselves from the others that play in spring. And that will carry over into fall camp and give them a little bit of a head start versus some of the other guys, you know. But again, I think it's likely if Mangum and Hodge are healthy, the incumbents typically win, right? That doesn't always happen. But because it's a new system and it's a new offensive coordinator, you don't know.
You don't know. And I joked a little bit about Baylor Romney a minute ago, but for any of these quarterbacks in spring ball, right, what you're trying to do is get yourself into the mix so that your name is mentioned with those other guys when we show up in the fall.
Well, so you're getting good reps.
That's what you're trying to do. That's right. What you're trying to do is get good reps and post a good showing so that when they start listing the real potential quarterbacks, and I'm talking about conversations the coaches are having behind closed doors, when they start listing who they think they've got here, you want to get your name onto that list going into fall.
So the other big storyline related to the QB thing is, of course, the new offensive coaching staff, right?
Yep.
And you've got Grimes, you've got this new system. I don't know how much of it we'll actually see in spring and know what it's going to be like, right? There's gamesmanship, there's, you know, walking before you can run, all that kind of stuff that comes into how much will fans and even the press see of the new offense. But it will be interesting to see what we can't see, just because we don't have anything else, right? Like, to base it on. And so I think the impact, that will be a big storyline. How much we'll really learn, I don't know. But it'll be something interesting to look at. Matt, any thoughts on the new coaching staff?
I'm excited about it, but I think you're right. I don't know how much of the playbook they're really going to open here, just because if you listen to what Grimes had to say early on, he's got to figure out what he has and what the tools are at his disposal and what strengths and weaknesses exist. And he's not even going to know all of that because, as we've talked about at length, is he's not going to have all of his key players healthy. So
right.
This is going to be a lot of exploration here, I think, in spring ball. So it'll be interesting to see how we all try and read those tea leaves, but I don't know how meaningful the information we're going to see really will end up being.
I believe, and you, we've said this on the podcast previously, I think it's going to be a run-based offense, and I think he will be able to establish some of the base of what his system is. But to your point, I don't think the meat of his system can be put in when he's not sure who's going to be the quarterback, right? Because the abilities of that quarterback will change what kind of run offense you have, right? Like if it's a Mangum who's, mobile, assuming he comes back and maintains his mobility after the injury, but is a pass-first guy, that changes it, right? If it's Hodge or one of the other guys that could potentially be part of the run game, then that changes it, right? We saw with Nick Foles in the Super Bowl and the playoffs, that run-pass option, and we saw it a little bit with Taysom, though they didn't run it the way the Eagles did. BYU didn't, but that run pass option is a dangerous deal if you've got a quarterback who can make the read, right? And I think you're going to see stuff like that, not in the spring though. You're going to see that in the fall. Matt, Tim Jacobson on, I believe this came via email, said, not sure if you guys caught this, but AJ Stewart, new football coach, has an amazing backstory. Born in Pennsylvania, grew up playing basketball in the streets. His mother was concerned for his well-being, sent him to live with his relatives in Southern California, since blossomed into a well-rounded coach in person and all that stuff. Yes, where's Dick Harmon on this story? And it does sound like a perfect Dick Harmon piece for the Deseret News.
It sounds like the beginning of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I was staying away from that joke. Born on the streets of Philadelphia, born and raised. Got one little fight. Matt, it's a cool story. I don't know the details. I'm going to assume Tim knows stuff that I don't, which is probably a good, safe assumption. But I assume we're going to get to know a lot about these coaches during the spring. There'll be a lot of interviews. There'll be a lot of, like, you know, puff pieces about them in the various media outlets. And I'm interested in that. I mean, obviously we know Roderick and we know some of these other guys, but Grimes, still, I'm learning stuff about him. Obviously, Stewart, some of these others on the staff. It's going to be interesting to learn more about their story and all that stuff. So, Matt, we could go into more stuff, and we've actually got a couple of other tweetbag questions that we're going to hold for next week because we're out of time.
That's it, huh? That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. I mean, we had funny clown emojis. We had climb on into the tweet bag hashtags.
He even got one climb on into the face bag tweet bag.
I mean, gosh, this was a full show.
The tweet bag runneth over.
The tweet bag runneth over. Another phrase you should never say again.
No, nope, that was weird.
Yeah, we need to create a list of things you just shouldn't say. I think that's safe. So next week, Matt, I don't know what day we will be doing it based on it on the off chance that BYU makes it to the championship, okay, game on Tuesday night. We will not be recording Tuesday night.
No. Okay?
So it could be Tuesday night, could be Wednesday night of next week. We'll be back to talk about what happened in the West Coast Conference tournament, more spring football, yada, yada, yada. So, Matt, anything else before we tune out?
I think I've pretty much said it all.
I think you have, and hopefully people have not tuned out. But what's the new hashtag people need to do?
Hot rock bottom.
Hot rock bottom. If you're still listening, tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout something with the hashtag hot rock bottom.
I got the hot rock bottom.
Got the hot rock bottom. Anyway, they make something for that. Matt, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. You can check, if you haven't, subscribe to the show on iTunes and join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!